Raise your hand if you have any questions or comments or anything for Bill. I am opening up my participants.
Craig's leading a stretching exercise. Let's all do Craig.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Go, Craig.
I'm glad you turned your video back on, Craig.
He's got it on. I can see him.
Later on,
we'll do a little tie bow.
Okay, let's see it. I love
now,
that.
What's it called? Tai Bo? Taekwondo. What is it called? I don't know what it's called.
They're both a thing.
You know, I love to talk about that stuff like I do it. I don't do any of that stuff.
Oh, I love that stuff. That's some of my favorite stuff.
I don't know who she is, but Lois W., would you wave at us? I love having Lois W. on the Al-Anon platform. I just think that's sensational. You're muted.
I'm unmuting. I'm going to try and unmute you, Lois. Can you unmute yourself there?
I'm not a speaker. I'm just a listener.
I know, but I sponsor a guy named Bill W., and so I'm on a meeting now with Lois W. I just love it.
Well, I'm from way up here in Canada, southeast corner of Saskatchewan.
Oh, you are way up here.
Hi.
Yep. Best place in the world to live.
Well, wonderful.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah. Right on.
You're doing a very good job.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill, I've got Mariana. You're on, Mariana.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mariana. I've been now 9 months coming to Al-Anon, and I'm really happy and grateful for this workshop today. I'm very thankful, Bill and Tina and everyone. And I was wondering, the big book online, is it free to read, or do I have to buy it?
Probably others more qualified to answer than me, but I access pages of the big book online all the time.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to buy one, you have to pay for it. I think they're $10 or something.
Okay.
But I think you can access certain pages. I don't know. Does anybody else know?
I've got Bill G's hand up. He's helped us with some of that technical stuff. Hey, Bill.
Yes. If you go to aa.org, that is the General Service Office of AA in New York, and you can get a free copy of the big book and the 12 and 12 as well. And it's both PDF and audio. So you can either read it or listen to it.
Thank you, Bill.
Nice. They have it on audio as well, huh?
Anybody else, or shall we get going?
I don't see any.
Shall we go?
Are you ready, Spaghetti?
I'm ready, Spaghetti.
Let's do it, Bill. Let's go.
Step 5, admit to God, myself, my sponsor, trusted spiritual advisor, the nature of my wrongs, further identifying that the underlying problem has been my immature adolescent instincts causing me to have done wrong to others. Pages 72 to 75 in the big book. There's one sentence in the big book that actually instructs us to do step 5. Most of the big book discussion is about how to find someone to listen to your step 5, because when the book was written, we didn't have sponsorship and the whole big meeting network like we do today. Nevertheless, on page 75, one sentence, we pocket our pride and go to it. We pocket our pride and go to it. Then he says a couple things. Our fears fall from us. We begin to have a spiritual experience. Page 75. We begin to have a spiritual experience. In the 12 and 12 on page 59, he says, because we were still bothered by fear, self-pity, and hurt feelings, it was probable We couldn't appraise ourselves fairly at all. He mentioned self-pity again. I have read and I have believed, based on my own experience, self-pity is the lowest of the emotions that make us feel bad about ourselves. I do not to this day understand why I still think it's good. I still feel sometimes, I just want to wallow in my self-pity. I do not understand how that can still feel good to me when I know better. But I throw it in here as a caution. Boy, is it dangerous, at least for me. And I would say to you, due to job-related locations, I had 6 sponsors, I told you, but in my first 12 years of recovery, I did a new 4th and 5th step, sometimes more than one, with each new sponsor. We identified more of my emotions that I had denied and buried since childhood. I've mentioned that. My earliest fears were of embarrassment and disappointment. I was ashamed of those feelings because they made me feel vulnerable. They made me feel less than, they made me feel less than a man. That old John Wayne syndrome. So I covered them up with anger. Sarcasm was my verbal drug of choice. And criticism of others. If I can put you down, I'll make myself feel better. Tina mentioned gossip earlier today. Not good. All I felt, the only emotion I experienced, as I said before, when I got here, was anger, so it took some time. In my 4th year of recovery, that veterinarian Robert was my sponsor in Little Rock. I came back from one of those weeks on the road and railroad. They still weren't treating me right, and I usually met with Robert on Saturday morning over a pot of coffee, and we talked over things, and I sat at Robert's kitchen table, and the two of us drank that first pot of coffee. I don't think Robert said a word. I bitched and moaned and complained and cried and wallowed in self-pity about how they weren't treating me right. They didn't appreciate the job I was doing. They wouldn't behave. They wouldn't pay attention. Robert had to get up and make a second pot of coffee. And he sat back down, and evidently I finally ran out of gas because Robert was able to get a word in edgewise. And you know what Robert said? Yep. Robert was from Oklahoma, by the way, transplanted to Arkansas. He did not have a one-syllable word in his vocabulary. So even the name Bill to Robert was Beal. Bill was a two-syllable word to my good man Robert. He said, Beal, I hate to break your heart, but you're not that big a deal. Somewhere, Otis, you will read that sponsorship includes compassion. Evidently, Robert did not get that memo. Bill, you're not that big a deal. What do you say? You say, what's he talking about that? What's that got to do with the 5th step? Only everything. Whether it's formal or informal, the process admitted to God, myself, and another human being. The exact nature, the nature of my wrong was self-centered, king baby, adolescence, all again. And Robert was able to prick that balloon. Bill, I hate to break your heart, but you're just not that big a deal. Keep in mind what Tina said, I want to repeat. We get the order of our relationships offered up to us in step 5. I lived the other way. I was all full of me. When you got in my way, I had them on my column 1 because they were my problem. And I only went to God as a last resort, and that was usually to blame God for them not behaving. So I didn't have God, myself, and others. I had others. Me trying to control them and bitch about them and then complain to God when I couldn't bitch enough on my own. The relationship order of my life today is God and I, and then me and others. When I have this one going right emotionally as well as everything else, when I'm going to God for help with everything, including my emotions, it's amazing how well things go this way. When I stop doing this, when I let up on this one, And I have to work at that relationship. I have to do my part. I have to desire and take the action to want to be in this relationship with God. When I do that, these relationships go so much smoother. Step six, ask God for the willingness to let go of the objectionable excess of negative emotions, and really it's my negative response to my emotions, that my sponsor and I have identified, so I can become free of their harmful tyranny, that word from 12 and 12. Relieve me of the bondage of self from step three. The victimhood of my own self, my own emotions, free of their harmful tyranny over my thoughts, words, and actions. That's in page 76. And if he says, if we still cling to something, we will not let go. This is the top half of page 76 in the big book. If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. Step six is the let go step. Because I'm coming off of 4 and 5, I'd have identified the things that have become objectionable to me, including the resentment emotion, the fear, the unreasonable, the unrealistic, the overamplified fear emotion, and the inconsideration of others, not taking their emotions, not taking their needs into account at all, which really comes up in the sexual conduct inventory. I have begun to admit and identify emotions in me that are driving my actions that have become objectionable. And it's interesting in the 12 and 12 on page 66, Bill points out, desires will always be found. Desires in us, desires in me, these natural God-given human desires that we carry too far. Desires will always be found which oppose the grace of God. We'll probably come back to that notion in a little bit. I underused step six for many years. I just underused it, didn't understand it. I focused on objectionable words and deeds. I was several years into recovery before I began asking God for the willingness to let go of my fear, anger, and unhappiness, whatever the trigger. Just having anger became objectionable to me, no matter the cause. Just feeling afraid, even if I didn't know, those unnamed fears, those undefinable sense of dread we get every now and then. I was no longer willing to struggle with that and fight my way through it, not admit it because it was a weakness, yada, 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 yada. Those finally became objectionable to me, no matter what the trigger was, even if I couldn't find the trigger. And I sought God's help sooner. I sought God's help more often just to give me the willingness to move forward, to let go of whatever it was. Even though I was evidently still identified feelings that were having a negative effect, an objectionable effect on my life. And that's why 6 and 7 are two different steps. Ask God for the willingness to let go. And expect him to grant me the willingness. Sarcasm's been a big problem for me since grade school. It took a long time to become objectionable to me. It had become objectionable to everybody else a long time ago. And sarcasm finally began to be objectionable above me, and I really asked God, and then I began to see the sarcasm was all grounded in those old childhood fears. I want to look good. I don't want you to know I'm vulnerable. I want to put myself up by putting you down. I made a lot of progress. I'm not out of the woods yet, but I've made a lot of progress in that area. So step 7. Step 7 is a big turning point crossover from step 6. Step 6, I'm still pretty much in charge of my own recovery. In step 6, I've become willing to ask God to help me be willing to let go. Notice in step 7, God occupies the driver's seat, no question going forward. Because in step seven, I'm asking God to be willing to let him take them from me, to take me good and bad, to help me deal with the excessive negative emotions. That's fun. I do that every hour. If I become willing in six to ask him for the willingness to help me let go, it makes sense that I would then say, let me let you take them from me, because I cannot outthink my emotions. They happen before I think about it. And they're still rooted in old ground. Those roots go deep. I'm now willing in step seven, from an emotional sobriety standpoint, to let God remove from me, help me deal with excessive negative emotions that block me from being useful to God and others. Step seven is also on the top half of page 76 of the big book. And it says this: I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. 12 and 12 says, character defects based upon short-sighted or unworthy desires are the obstacles that block our path. To live at peace, to live at peace with ourselves and with our fellows. 12 and 12, page 76. Peace is really the absence of conflict. I like that. Step seven, I relinquish control of the directorship of my life. It's what it seems to me to be today. Step seven, I relinquish control of the directorship of my life. I have become willing to let go and let God have all of me in step six and seven. This means I no longer choose the priorities in my life. God does. Huge uncertainty here. In six, I'm asking him for the willing to just let go of a handful of objectionable things I've identified, a very finite list. In seven, I give him the directorship of all of me, good and bad, and he's going to set the priorities going forward. Introduces much more uncertainty in my life. Not really. It does away with the illusion of certainty that I've been living with, because my life has been uncertain since the day I was born. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. If I really pay attention to what's going on in step seven, I have had way additional uncertainty introduced into my life, because I don't know what God's going to do with me going forward. It takes a while to get used to that. It takes a while to see that's a good thing. I do not know what God's priorities are going to be. So I must become willing to trust God enough to not fear God's priorities. I believe in step seven, whether I knew it or not, I begin a real, new, deeper process of change. I become willing to trust God enough not to fear God's priorities in my life. Mm-hmm. That's a lifetime exercise, I'll tell you. But look back from step seven forward. I will be letting God more than ever help me, here's the AID of emotion, admit, identify, and deal with my emotions. With God's help, I will attempt to no longer deny, defy, or doubt the reality of my emotional life and the fact that I need help with it. And the example of step seven is every step eight list I ever wrote. Because if I'm giving God the priority, what's the first thing he says? Okay, now I've got the directorship. Here's what I want you to do. Remember those people in column one that you were so excited to make that resentment inventory about them? Yeah, yeah. He says, now I want you to write those names down and become willing to admit the wrong you did to them. What? Not only that, you probably call your sponsor and say, have you read this crap? Do you know what's in this book? Are you kidding me? I mean, if I was really paying attention, but it kind of crept up on me. That's why it's good that I don't know what's happening when it's happening. I only see this in hindsight. But when you look at step 8, right in the middle of page 76 in the big book, you go from 6 and 7 to 8, bada bing, bada boom. He says, now we need more action. Make a list of all the people you harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Oh boy, did I hire a good director or not? But isn't that the best thing for me? Because in step 8, I become willing to list the people I've harmed and take responsibility for the wrong things I did. I did things that harmed them. My wrong harmed them. And I'm going to deal with the emotions that caused my wrong actions. And watch this. I'm going to deal with the emotions that don't want me to make the 8-step list. If I'm really paying attention to step 8, and I'm not in denying it, pretend we're never going to do direct amends. Just write the step 8 list and become willing. Forget about step 9 when you're doing step 8. Help your sponsors. This is one place you want a blind spot. Just do step 8. We're never going to see step 9. It's never going to happen. Don't worry, Carl. Whatever it takes. I'm going to deal with the emotions that underlay the wrong things I did that harmed them, but I'm also going to have to deal with the emotions that make me not want to write step 8. It's a magical step. He says on page 76 of the big book, we have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. If you don't believe it, look back on page 67. For the resentment inventory, look back on page 68 of the big book for the fear inventory, and you can look at page 69 for the people we harm primarily because of our inconsideration in the sexual conduct inventory. So yeah, we do have a list of the people we harm. We made it when we took inventory. In the 12 and 12 on page 80, he says to define the word harm, this is how they felt. The wrong is what I did. The harm is what they experienced, physically or emotionally or financially or socially. But there is emotional harm involved here. To define the word harm, we might call it the results of instincts in collision. My instincts in collision with the world, which cause physical, mental, emotional, spiritual damage to people. The prayer on page 76 of the big book, going from step 7 to step 8, grant me strength. This is from 7 to 8. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. So be it. With this prayer, the big book leads me from step 7 directly into step 8, and I absolutely need God's strength to even consider finally taking responsibility for the wrong things I did, no matter what they did. No matter what they did. We set that aside. We learned to do that on page 66 and 67 when we started moving from blame to forgiveness. Page 66, 67 in the big book, it's huge. We start moving from blame to forgiveness. God help me from being angry is the prayer at the top of page 67. God save me from being angry. That is a prayer for emotional help. That is a prayer to move toward emotional sobriety. And if I haven't done page 66 and 67, starting to move from blame to forgiveness, I'm going to have a very difficult time doing step 8. So yes, I need God's strength coming out of step 7. To take responsibility for the wrong things I did that harmed others, no matter what they did to me, as well as the inevitable feelings of fear, anger, and sadness that overwhelm me and make me not want to write step 8. But I do it anyway. And this begins a lifetime practice, my friends. this begins a lifetime practice of dealing with my emotions in a responsible manner, especially when I've done something that was wrong, that harmed another person. I did not have any experience taking responsibility for wrongs done and harm caused for others when I got here. This is a new practice, and it takes a while, but it's worth the practice. I had to do step eight on my second wife, the mother of my children. And I really had to use everything I've just talked to you about, set aside my hurt feelings and my blame and my long list of what I thought all the things she'd done to me. That did not happen overnight. But I have made complete direct amends to her. I have done all I can do. And how she deals with it going forward is really between her and God, because their response to my amend is not my emotional responsibility. I do the best I can to be complete, direct, and simple with no justification, no rationalization. How they take my amend is between them and God. How they take my amend is none of my business. I'm going to say that one more time. I know how it feels. I know how emotionally we want them to understand and to forgive and say it's okay and can we have coffee Tuesday. Making a direct demand, which we're going to talk about in a minute in step nine, has to begin with my willingness in step eight to take full responsibility for the wrong I did and to the extent I can, the harm it caused them, with no expectation of any response on their part. That is a huge challenge for someone who came in here as a grown man with the emotions of a teenager and no responsibility for anything I ever did. I wanted credit. I always wanted to take credit when things went well, but I took responsibility. It was always somebody else's fault. I took no responsibility for anything went wrong in my personal or private life, public life. So step nine, watch what happens here. One through eight is done in private. Me and my sponsor and God. Technically, nobody else, if I didn't say it in a meeting, nobody would know what step I'm on. One through eight are done in the privacy of my mind, my emotions, my kitchen table, the God of my understanding, and once in a while, particularly step five, some help from my sponsor. What happens in nine? We take this show on the road, ladies and gentlemen. We're going public with our so-called sobriety, emotional sobriety, spiritual awakening. And who do we take it to first? The people in column one of my resentment inventory, them again. Lord have mercy. Do they ever stop? What happens? I begin to deal with. Look at this. Here's another D for deal. I begin to deal with the consequences of my harms to others caused in large part by my selfish, self-centered choices, mainly driven by unmet emotional needs. Wanting too much material security, wanting too much social attention and security, wanting too much sexual intimacy security. Pages 76 to 83 in the big book discuss a lot of different ways to make amends. He says on page 76, now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage, including the emotional damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris. All you can do is try. You're going to get all the way to step 12, and the verb is still going to be try. Try to carry the message. Try to practice the principles. We see the word try back here in step 9. We attempt to sweep away the debris, which is accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. Run the show ourselves means play God. We're way back to page 62. Run the show ourselves means play God. And on the 12 and 12, page 84, he said, watch this. This is beautiful. We cannot buy our peace of mind at the expense of others. Nowhere in my ninth step do I ever mention one iota of what they did. And I wouldn't have done what I did if you hadn't done what you did. They do not come up at all. And they say there are no musts in the program. Are you kidding me? That's a huge must, because I want to tell them, you know, Martha, yes, I stole your car and dated your daughter without your permission, but I wouldn't have had to do that if you hadn't da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, 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 children. I make my direct demands one by one, taking care to keep it simple. No rationalization, no justification for my behavior, no blame on them. I admit to each of them what I did wrong. And I actually have my guys make a list in step 8 so they can use it in step 9. Column 1 of step 8, the name of the people I harmed. Column 2, what I did wrong that harmed them. And in column 3, we get into the willingness stuff, but if I can get column 2 down to 10 words or less, it's the verbs. Use the verbs. This isn't an essay about the whole relationship. The verbs are the action words in English language. I was wrong when I stole your car, robbed your money, embarrassed you in front of your friends, cheated on you, et cetera, et cetera. I was wrong when I abused the children because I was angry at you. Verbally abused. Thank God I didn't beat my kids. I admit to each of them what I did wrong. They don't get mentioned. I'm willing to do whatever I can to make things right, financial and otherwise. I do not blame them. Watch this. I do not blame them for my anger, my fear, or my sadness, or my disappointment for what I did to them. They are not responsible for my emotions. The United Nations is not responsible for my emotions. The U.S. Senate is not responsible for my emotions. I deal with these feelings with the help of God and you, as well as the fear and resentment I may feel during the process. I may feel fear and I may feel resentment during the amend. Don't take it out on them. Continue to ask God for his strength. And I guarantee you, discussing with my sponsor and that one I mentioned earlier about the anger issue, I'll just say that I did make that amend. It was very awkward and very uncomfortable, but the relationship has been restored, which doesn't always happen, but in this case it was. So we go to living one day at a time, step 10, 11, and 12. I have already, in the first 9 steps, established every principle that we're going to find in 10, 11, and 12. There is no new news. There is no new choice. There is no new behavior. There is no new way to deal in a positive, healthy way with my emotions in 10, 11, and 12 that we haven't already experienced and done to some extent, begun to practice a little bit at least in steps 1 through 9. Here's the difference. Here's the difference, 10, 11, and 12 compared to 1 through 9. You want to know the difference? How many people want to know the difference? See if you're paying attention. All right. 5 out of 150, that's not bad. I mean, good grief, it's Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. For all I know, it's midnight Sunday somewhere on Labor Day weekend. God bless you all for hanging in there. Amen. What's the difference? 10, 11, and 12 from 1 and 9. The verbs. The verbs matter. The verb in step 10 is continue. It does not say occasionally. It does not say on the third Tuesday of the fourth month. The The verb in step 10 is continue. The verb in step 11 is seek. Step 11 does not promise us we're going to find God's will on that day. Our job is to remain seekers. The verb in step 12 is try. Try to carry the message. Try to practice the principles. So put them together. 10, 11, and 12. Continue to seek and try. One day at a time. 1 hour at a time. One emotional upheaval at a time. One, I have to be with that person for an hour. Time. I have to call the insurance company and go through 19 different phone prompts at a time. I know, it makes you sick, doesn't it, Patricia? You don't work for the insurance company, do you? God bless you. I always try to tell those people, thank you for the job you're doing, because I know they get harassed. That's a side issue. So step 10, continued. Continued what? It says throughout the day. It says throughout the day. I take that to mean when I'm awake. I just take that to mean when I'm awake. I continue to watch for and deal with, page 84 of the big book, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. We're down to four things. We're kind of back with old Confucius. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. You can find some sadness and joy in there. Why do those four things, why does it boil down to that? Well, everything comes from selfishness. King baby wants everything his or her way. Adolescent, get out of my way. Don't tell me what to do. I already know everything. How many people know a 17-year-old in their life right now? Anybody know a 17-year-old? Do they know everything? Yes, they do. Just ask them. You don't even have to ask them. They'll tell you if you don't ask them. Lord, have mercy. I don't want to be king baby. Ladies, you don't want to be queen baby. We don't want to be adolescent emotional anymore. So help me deal with selfishness when it crops up. And the word in stand is when. Page 84 of the big book says, when these crop up, they're going to happen. I don't want to be dishonest about being selfish. I don't want to be dishonest about always wanting my way. I don't want to have a resentment because I'm not getting my way. I don't want to have fear because you're going to find out I resent you for not getting me to my, letting out of my way. There's a pattern here. By asking God and others for help, page 84 of the big book, making amends quickly when I do need to make amends, and then trying to help others. Page 84 says, we have entered the world of the spirit, capital S. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. I ask you again, if you want the promises the people that wrote this book said we could have, we'd probably need to do the work they did to produce the promises that they had in their life if I want those promises in my life. This is not complicated. This is not even life and death. It's much more important than that. Continue for our lifetime, not an overnight matter. You know what? Because we're always going to have emotions. And some of them are going to crop up in untimely, uncomfortable, inappropriate, even dangerous ways. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Page 88 in the 12 and 12. Step 10. Can we stay sober, keep in emotional balance, right there in the 12 and 12, page 88, keep in emotional balance and live to good purpose under all conditions? I want that in my life today, don't you? No matter what they do, no matter what they don't do. He also mentions on page 88, 12 and 12, the emotional hangover. Yes, the emotional hangover. the direct result of yesterday and sometimes today's excess of what he calls negative emotions, anger, fear, jealousy, and the like. And by the way, jealousy is a form of fear. Jealousy is the fear that I'm going to lose something like my wife that I think I have to have because I think that guy across the room is making eyes at her and I get jealous of her and him. Jealousy is a fear that I'm going to lose something that I desperately have to have.
Behind the plant.
Envy, by the way, is the fear I'm not going to get something that you have that I really want. If we would live serenely, peace, if we would live serenely today and tomorrow, I'd like to live serenely today and tomorrow, wouldn't you? We need to eliminate these emotional hangovers. It's not an overnight matter. Day on, day off. I'm not cured of alcoholism. I'm not cured of alcoholism. I'm not just talking about the drinking part. I'm not just talking about that physical allergy. I'm still not cured of the I, self, me. Alcoholism, I, self, me-ism. I'm human. I'm not cured of I, self, me. My daily reprieve is contingent upon being willing to participate actively in the growth of my own spiritual life. This is not going to happen by osmosis. I can't do this just sitting in meetings. Our friend in Arkansas used to say, you can sit in the garage all week, you're not going to become a Buick. Just sitting in meetings in AA or Al-Anon is not the recovery program. Nowhere in the recovery program does it say having had a spiritual awakening from sitting in seven meetings a week. Sitting in meetings is not the recovery program. It's part of the fellowship. It reinforces the recovery program. It's where we go to learn about the recovery program. It's where we go to find out what happens to people who work the 12 steps. And it's where we go to find out what happens to people who don't work the 12 steps. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon are the recovery program. There is no substitute if we want the benefits promised in these books from the experience of the people who wrote them and lived them. It's a simple choice. My daily reprieve is contingent upon growing my spiritual life by admitting, identifying, and dealing with positively all my emotions, especially the ones that have a negative effect on me, in a way that is helpful to me and not hurtful to you. They both matter. I have to deal with these emotions in a way with God's help and your help and my sponsor, in a way that's helpful to me and not harmful to others. The code in Alcoholics Anonymous is found in the middle of step 10 on page 84. Love and tolerance of others is our code. We're not talking amorous love. We're talking about what the Greeks called loving the other person in such a way that you want God's best for them. I want God's best for each of you today. I really do. I don't know a lot of you, but I absolutely have no inhibition, no reluctance, no resistance to telling you I absolutely want whatever God's best is for you, and I don't have to know what that is. I don't have to know you to want that for you. There's 7.3 billion people, I'm told, by Mr. Google, walking around the face, well, walking, lying, sleeping, doing whatever they're doing, digging a ditch, trying to find food and water. I want God's best for all 7.3 billion people today. I really do. And I tolerate the fact that people don't behave the way I think they should. I tolerate the fact that they don't think like I do. They don't act like I do. They don't do the things I think they should do, and they do a lot of things I don't think they should do. It's outside my hula hoop 99% of the time. It's not my business. I may care about it. I have emotions about it. And I will tell you, the emotions, the people I love, the people I care about, and the people that really upset me, that hula hoop is the size of the moon. The things I care about today are huge. I care more than I've ever cared in my life because I have no anesthesia. The problem is, the disconnect is, the things I can do something about are the size of the steering wheel in my Honda. So you got this tension between all the things I think about and care about and love and get me torqued a little bit. And then I got the steering wheel of my Honda, which is my responsibility circle. Emotional sobriety is accepting the disconnect and knowing love and tolerance of others is enough. It's not just our code, it's enough. That's a good deal. I do a blackboard meditation in the morning. My quiet time begins me visualizing a clean blackboard and waiting for God to write on it. I really have to wait, try to let him pick up the chalk before I do. Continue. Watch for them. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to help. We talk to someone about it immediately. We make amends quickly if we've harmed someone, and we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help, which takes us into step 11. By the way, step 10 is basically stop doing the wrong thing. Step 10, stop doing the next wrong thing. I'm tempted to do the next wrong thing all the time. If you just listen to me, I could help you because I know what's good for you. If I have to strap you down to listen, I will. I mean, that's the old me, and that old me still lives here. We just try not to feed him, but he won't go away. Just that old business, you know. Anyway, my blackboard really helps me. Thy will, not mine, be done. Step 10 treats the not mine. If I don't treat the not mine, I'm not going to get to thy will. Step 10 basically is a limitation on me not doing the next wrong thing. So step 11, I desire to improve my conscious contact with God today, my relationship with God today. It's conscious, it's purposeful, it's intentional, and it is daily. I seek his will for me and his power, his helping power. HP from step 3. Step 2, his helping power to carry out his will through me to the extent that I can help. Each day I use his help to deal with emotions that cause negative consequences while nourishing the positive emotions. Pages 85 to 88 in the big book. If we have carefully followed directions, says the book, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. Remember back in step 10, it says we've entered the world of the spirit. Well, that was the first 9 steps, 10, 11, and 12. Do you want to stay and grow in the world of the spirit? It's your choice. It's your choice, but you got to work at it. I have to work at it. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. That's intuition, which is connected with the emotion. We must go further. That means more action. Page 85 of the big book. In the 12 and 12, he says on page 97, when we turn away, here's a risk, here's a caution. This is a flashing yellow light, okay? When we turn away from meditation and prayer, we likewise deprive our minds, our emotions, and our intuitions of vitally needed support. Why would you go on a spiritual fast? I understand why you might go on a physical fast, you know, a juice fast for a weekend, a retreat. Don't go on a spiritual fast. There is no upside to a spiritual fast. So whether I use the directed thinking style of meditation and prayer in the big book prayer is basically, and meditation is, God direct my thinking. God direct my thinking. If you read through pages 86, 87, and 88 in the big book, it's primarily God direct my thinking. When I go to bed at night, review my day, wake up in the morning, God direct my thinking. Thinking about my day, God direct my thinking, and so forth. And there's a more extensive list of meditations in the 12 and 12. Either way, when we turn away, as he says, we risk depriving our minds, emotions, and intuitions. He also uses St. Francis prayer in 12 and 12, who he describes as someone who's been through the emotional ringer. I love that. The purpose is to continue to admit, identify, and deal with all my emotions, seek help from God and others to amplify the healthy emotions to good effect for me, minimize the way my unhealthy emotional responses can cause harm to me and others. Step 11, thy will be done. Step 11 is do the next right thing. 10 and 11 are a companion piece. Step 10, don't do the next wrong thing. Step 11, try to do the next right thing. And then step 12. Real simple. I try to pass the recovery message of emotional sobriety on to others. And I try to practice the principles of emotional sobriety, dealing with emotional sobriety in all my affairs. Page 133 of the Big Book says, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. I add to that free from anger and fear, principally. Free from impatience. Free from judgment. Free from blame. Free from self-pity. We are sure. It doesn't say God absolutely guarantees us. It says we think he wants us to be. Be careful how we quote that. And in the 12 and 12 on page 106, practice all 12 steps daily, like we said a couple, 3 hours ago, that we may find emotional sobriety. And on page 164, the last page in the Big Book before we get into the stories, that is the rest of the stories, there are a lot of stories in the first 164 pages. Oh, this is so beautiful. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. And I will give you my closing example of emotional sobriety, this workshop today. Everybody that came to hear Tina earlier today, those of you that stayed on for this, and those of you that joined us for this, made a decision to come to Al-Anon Without Borders today. I don't think anyone was ordered here today by their parole officer. I don't think you may have been ordered by your sponsor, but that's an act of compassion on their part. I don't think anyone came here with a gun to their head. You made a decision to participate and something to do with the 12 steps of AA and Al-Anon, and any other 12-step program you may be part of. You made the decision to draw closer into the circle of recovery. And whether you knew it or not, whether you've agreed with anything we said today or not, whether you disagreed, whether it made sense, whether it didn't make sense, I guarantee you, you have experienced something of your spiritual awakening, and you've experienced something of emotional sobriety. The fact that you sat here for 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, and haven't broken your own screen is emotional sobriety. I'm going to close. We'll open it up for questions and comments. And before we do close, though, I have a small comment and a prayer, but we can do that at the very end, okay?
You ready for questions and comments? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. We're all emotionally sober now. We're good to go out into the world and heal.
Either that or you stirred some stuff up.
As an old timer used to tell me, he says, I'm here to comfort the afflicted. I may afflict the comfortable in the process.
Yes, yes, yes. Brilliant. I think that is good for all.